All right, the book of John chapter 5. Like I said, I'm going to talk about how to have power with God. Let's just make the message simple, title it, Power with God. The story is about when Jesus healed a man who was by the pool, who has been there for a very long time, and Jesus asked him whether he wanted to get well. And the man said he had no man to help him. And Jesus said, look, this is the issue. Arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now, the important thing to note is that it was on the Sabbath day. Now, when the people began to complain, he now said, look, it's not my aim to break the Sabbath. It's just that the man who said I should walk gave me a commandment. And unfortunately, it was on a Sabbath day. Do you understand that? So when they went to ask Jesus Christ about it, look at what he said. Let's just continue reading from verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. And what was his excuse? He said, it's because my father is working. That's verse 17. Until now, and I myself am working. Now for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more, that is now offending them some more, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own father. Now there's an implication to that statement, that you call God your father. He said by doing it, he was making himself equal with God. Now please, I want you to notice that thing. He said when he called God his father, by doing that, what he did was to make himself equal with God. Now, there's a concept which, if you have been around for a long time, you have heard me teach before, and I feel like bringing it to us again today. It will help us get into the thing I want to teach about this matter of power with God. And that's the matter of equality with God. All right? Now, here, Jesus is not denying it, that I'm not saying I'm not equal with God. The people understood what he was saying. A lot of us, we use words that have been passed down. We don't understand the origin of those words. When he called God his father, now if you have ever heard a Muslim talk, he will tell his anathema to call God your father. Do you understand my point? They don't believe in the concept of Jesus being the son of God. And but they will tell you clearly that God has no son and God doesn't have a father. And therefore you cannot call yourself a son of God. The person of Jesus, they believe in his existence, that he existed. But he said he was a prophet of God, and he was not a son of God. It is not unique to them. That was the same issue with the Jews. The Jews, that was the same problem they had. That Jesus called himself the son of God, it had implications which is beyond what a lot of us understand. We go around every day bragging on the fact that we are sons of God, that we are children of God. We don't understand what it really means. These people understood it and they said it clearly to him that by doing this, you are making yourself equal with God. And he did not say that he's not equal with God. Now, so the first thing I want to explain is this matter of equality with God to us again for us to understand. Now, let me explain something to you when you use the word equality in this particular context. Now, there are different realms of existence. Please try and follow me closely. I'm not teaching you mysticism, all right? Just try and follow me very closely. And in each realm, please follow this. In fact, let me first tell you this story to help you. I said to you before, a lot of Christians are not very well informed, all right? So when they criticize things, they are right in their criticism, but the principle upon which they are criticizing is very, very wrong. Do you get my point? You know, that's why sometimes it's difficult for Christians to minister to certain people. Because the things the people know, you don't even have an idea. Are you getting my point? Maybe a man talked about there are planes in the heavens, you know, all these mystics. A man is on the 17th plane and all of that. And you look at him like this guy is drinking. Actually, he's not drunk. He's not drinking. Depending on how you look at things, he may be able to explain to a man of understanding about the planes in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand my point? And listen, these things exist all over the world like that, in every strata of life. How many of you know about martial arts? Kung Fu, karate, and all of that. You see that a man has a brown belt. Then a man has a black belt. Then amongst those that have black belts, there are now different dance in the black belt. And the guy has his sixth dan, and it's not the same level as the guy who got his black belt yesterday. And if you have, now, some what I want to quote, I've not seen some of them directly, but I've heard stories, and I've observed some things, and they look like, you know, those things are based on real things. The higher men go in those, they are danage. Now, I'm coining my own word now. of the Black Belt series, the more they become in tune with things that are not physical, but are more spiritual. Do you get my point? So a lot of things you see in Chinese films, they are films, all right? Now movie. But they are based on things that are actually real. You hear that one man, you see, no, when we're young then, hey, only him. They all fight 200 people. Until we began to read the Bible, and found out it's also in the Bible. The men of David, single-handed, one of them stood and defended a piece of property against an invading army. Then one lion vexed him. He chased the lion into a pit. On a cold day, the Bible says it was a day that it snowed, and he fought the lion. And we read the story of people like Samson. And Samson got up and fought, you know, he will face a whole army and doesn't have any serious weapon, just the jawbone of an ass, that is, the decayed animal. They removed the bone and faced a whole army. So you find that it's not just Chinese film. These are things that happen. Do you follow my point? Now, so, you see that if you look at those martials, they will tell you that there are different levels, and that's the way it is. And when people now go into the realm of the spirit, you know, they now begin to tell you about a man who ascended to the 15th plane and the 17th plane. Now, I'll tell you something about the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it very, very unnecessary for his children to be chasing after one plane or another. He said, chase after only one thing. The full knowledge, the complete knowledge of Christ Jesus. What the Greek calls epignosis, to be fully acquainted with God. Forget about the planes on the way to get to that place. Are you getting my point? God will lift you from one plane to the other. He knows how to do it. That's the beauty of Christianity. Do you get my point? Now, so I said that in all things I will explain. I told you, if you've heard me long enough, that one day I was in Lagos. And I was watching TV and they were interviewing the one, you know, if you heard of Ekanka, they have this religion. They call Ekanka, the natural way back to God. The man was being interviewed on TV and he described what they call the Mahanta. And my first time of hearing it, but it was so instructive because before then I had some grasp, a good understanding of spiritual things. So he said, what's the Mahanta? He says, the living God man. That is, there's a way a man ascends. Now listen to this. He ascends spiritually and gets to a particular place where he's now in union with God, yet he's a human being that is on the earth. And yet they have one at a time. And every religion of those Eastern heritage, you see what they call a living perfect master. And that day when the man said it, you know, I was excited because I've been meditating about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And something hit me that there are differences between, all right, the way they practice and what true Christianity is. Please, if you read my article, The Supremacy of Christ, I described this inside that article. What was I trying to explain? You see, the men knew what they were seeking after something. Do you get my point? Like Paul would say, that I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And he was talking about the nation of Israel. And amongst the Gentiles, there are those who have a zeal, all right, to discover the things of the Spirit, but again, not according to knowledge. So they say they are seeking for a living, perfect master. That's the Gentiles. The Jews are seeking for what? The Messiah. The Messiah came in the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified him. They rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, you're getting the point there. But let's go to the Gentiles. The Gentiles also, they are seeking for a living, perfect master, but he has already come. They also don't know. So if you want to preach to a man who is a Buddhist, you want to preach to a man who is who's an Ekist, like they call them, you don't tell them that, look, oh, forsake your religion. That's not the issue. The issue is that what you are looking for, let me show you where he is. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? He's looking for the living perfect master. Then let us show you where the living perfect master is. Because indeed, Jesus is alive. Indeed, he has been made perfect. Indeed, he's the master and Lord over all that will believe in him. Indeed, he's the living perfect master. The difference between his own living perfect master that he's seeking for and the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jesus is not proud to sit down and call himself the living perfect master. No, he said, but I have opened a door that everyone who believes can approach unto God and become living and perfect also. I don't know whether I get the point. That's what Jesus did. To open a door for us to enter into the depths of the realms of spiritual things, so much he will attain a particular point. And this is interesting, but get this point clear. I dare to say this, and I'm not joking about it. I would love to look at the Ekis Mahanta in the face and say, confess, I'm higher than you spiritually. I banky. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ now. I'm higher than you spiritually. Because Jesus said, of all men born of women, None is as great as John the Baptist. He said, but in the kingdom of God, the least of them is greater than John. I would love to look the man in the face. And if he will not lie, he will confess that indeed, this man talking to me is telling the truth. It's not, look, he's not bragging. This is the order that God set. It is funny that men are seeking for things that are inferior. That's why any Christian trying to dive into such things, you are wasting time. You have a plane to enter into life on a level higher than those guys. That's why, believe me, get me the strongest Ogboni man. I want to then sit down, sir. Look me in the eyes and may you die suddenly if you lie. I am higher than you spiritually. Talk. Don't lie. Swear before God that if you lie, you will die. Now look me in the face. That this guy talking to you is your mate. He's not. Because of all men born of women, none is as great as John the Baptist. But the lowest, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. What I'm telling you is the truth, though. That's why I thought there was a time I settled down. And I guess the Holy Spirit just gave me that ability. I picked the 3 volumes in Light of Truth by Habib Rushin, the message of the Grail message. I went through them one by one. And by the time I finished, I didn't read everything, but I went through quite 3 volumes. By the time I finished, as anybody following Habib Rushin is confused. He said he's using his energy for that which does not satisfy. He said, follow me and discover that which is bread indeed. These guys are eating decayed, rotten bread without good nutrition. Because I read through him, I said, oh God, this is confusion. But for some people, it's light. Because you don't understand something, a lot of men are confused in life. Men are confused. A man gets up and strives and strives and strives and strives and he becomes very, very wealthy. And he asks himself, what's the purpose of all of this? A lot of men are confused. That's why they will bring him the Light of Truth by Habib Rushin. And at least there's some light. Suddenly he discovered that life is not just about this physical realm. There's a realm of the spirit. And that's what entices him. You know the problem with all of us Christians? Let me use the word like this. We are spoilt. I don't know whether I get the point. We are spoilt. This one by spoilt. Something happened today. All right? Oh, good. Somebody, my wife was describing a young lady that, you know, she saw today and then a small child brought to come and stay with somebody, all right? And my wife came and was telling me the story about this girl. That this girl entered the house, you know, typical, now listen to this though. All of us are used to this kind of homes. The house is supposed to start living in. When she saw the house, she wondered whether this one person's house. Now, this is a house you, a lot of you came out from such homes to come for this Bible study and returning to such homes. She looked at the house like, this is the house where you people live. And like, okay, how many people are living in here? I remember the first time, this is not a joke, when I first hired my own first properly rented property, apartment, the one flat in Transekulu, when I came to Enugu. So I had to buy everything. I didn't have anything before then. You know, I had to buy mattresses, you know, beds, furniture, everything. So when I went to pick up the mattresses we got from the market, so the boy followed, one young boy, a trader, young trader. Silly, you know, a boy enjoying, you know, playing around. So he entered the truck to come and help us offload in the house. And when he climbed upstairs, so he asked, which apartment is my own? I looked at him, are you drunk? This is one apartment. No, it took me a while to get his point. Like, okay, so where are they moving the things to? And he was standing in my sitting room. You don't understand what I'm saying? Because to the left, rooms. To the right, rooms. So the guy looked at me. And there's where my that house was. The guy had to ask, like, okay, so please, which one is your own? Oh boy, this, everything you are seeing is my own. So look, you live everywhere alone because there were just my wife and I, nobody else. Do you follow my point? His own background. He's not used to that. How do you believe now? And that's a flat. The young girl I'm telling you about came to a duplex, you know, that kind of thing. And she looked. See, this boy is a trader, so he must have some money. Maybe he's living in a yard somewhere. But he's seen good houses. But this young lady has not seen anything like this. Came up from living in a shack. You know, those kind of things. You've seen them on TV and all of that. And is amazed. Now, I'm bringing out something. It's something I'm trying to describe. Imagine her background and turn it to a spiritual atmosphere. That is how a lot of people, rich, professors, you get my point? Big politicians, judges, ex-presidents, great musicians, great artists, earning $10 million per movie, actor. A lot of them, spiritually, they are from sharks. They've never seen life. They don't understand what is called peace of mind. They don't understand what is called purpose. One of my friends called me the other day and was telling me about one great American sportsman. Very great. One of the greatest that ever lived in America. So the man, of course, the man was telling his testimony because he had become a Christian. And life had gotten meaning. And he was saying, in fact, that a lot of times we don't understand what we have. We believers, we don't. Because he was poor, you know what I mean? He was rich materially. But now, spiritually, he's rich. He was poor spiritually before. He said, people don't understand what they have. That those days, in fact, what brought up the issue was the death of Michael Jackson. So we began to analyze many issues about that man's death. Now, so he was describing that people enter into realms in life that they totally lose control. That this man was explaining. There are times that he said there are times he will wake up in the hotel room and there are six women sleeping on the same bed with him. He can't remember when they got there. Now, get my, he doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know how they got here. He doesn't know what he did with them. All that happened, like he woke up in the morning and he sees he's in a hotel room and there are six women on the giant bed that he's sleeping on. Look at him outside. He's very rich. He's earning millions and millions of dollars every month. Yeah, he's totally confused. When he comes out, everybody's hailing. And then he smiles for the crowd. He waves for the crowd. And he runs into the field and performs for the crowd. He doesn't want the game to end. And you don't understand, oh, he loves his baseball or football, whatever he's playing. No, the guy doesn't want the game to end. This is the only purpose he has. Once he leaves here, confusion again. Darkness, troubles. So you see him jumping from one woman to the other. Listen, he's not a wicked soul. He's looking for meaning. When he goes on cocaine, listen, believe me, he doesn't love the man who makes cocaine. At least when he sniffs that cocoa, for the next 2 hours, he's irie. You know what I mean by irie? He's content. Life seems to be at peace. Then the thing wears off. I remember those days. How many of you remember Culture Club's Boy George? It was the guy, he OD'd on heroin. He didn't die, but he took him to hospital. And you know, when I read things, I say, oh God, may God open the eyes of people spiritually. And when you see who like Boy George, you won't be angry with him that he's a transvestite, a cross-dresser. You'll be feeling sorry for him. Like when you want to preach to him, it's not like, stop all this nonsense you are doing. No, it's more of, oh boy, let me show you life. Let me give you direction. You're hungry spiritually. You're malnourished. I can see it. Boy George, then he was denying before that he was on drugs. This was many years ago. I'm telling you about the story of in the late 80s or mid 80s. Late 80s. I was in university then. So the reporter said, Boy George, you say you're not on drugs. I said, listen, my friend, you don't have to be a doctor to know I'm on drugs. He said, I'm an out and out junkie with a 5 gram a day habit. Now, if I give you sitting down there 5 grams of heroin, you will die. No, I don't mean that as like, God will punish you. No, your lungs will stop working and you will die. Your brain will shut down. Instantly, your brain will shut down. But he was so hooked on it, he had developed what we doctors call tolerance. The guy was, one day, out of, he upped the dose. Then, he really OD'd, overdose, and they had to rush him to hospital. And at that time, his name was everywhere. He was making a lot of money. But there was total confusion in his soul. Chris Okote will tell you the story that at the time Nigerians were crazy over him, at night, he will look out from the top of Federal Palace Hotel, and he will have one solution to all his problems. Jump out from this window. Meanwhile, then, all of us were listening. Do-do-mine. We were feeling very, very happy. He was sinking everywhere. He was a law student in Enugu and flying and living in Lagos, flying up and down for lectures. Now, I'm describing poverty of spirit. But an average Christian doesn't understand that. So really, you can't relate to some of these people. You can't even minister to them. All you are looking at is that wicked soul. He married four women. Do you get my point? He's cheating on his wife. That's what you are thinking about. Meanwhile, if you had understanding, you'll be feeling sorry. That this guy is confused. He doesn't have direction. That his money in his hands, the millions of naira he has not in any way improved him at all. He's confused. That's why he's on drugs. Listen, it is not out of righteousness that you don't want cocaine. Did you hear what I said? It is that you don't need it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When you see a rich man on cocaine, don't think he's a wicked man. He's a confused man. He's a man looking for purpose. He's a man looking for direction. I read a book, From Witchcraft to Christ, by one Doreen something, forgotten his the full name now. She described how she entered into drugs. She was a prostitute. Every day after everything, you know, she was a strip dancer in a hotel, in a bar, in a club. And then, at the end of all the activity, the woman said, they will smoke heavily. The woman said, you want something better than that? She said, the man gave her wee-wee. And when she dragged the wee-wee, suddenly life had clarity. There was purpose. There was direction. There was calm. She dragged her wee-wee. And she started buying wee-wee from that man. I hope you know what's wee-wee. Zim is lost. You know what they call wee-wee Zim? Izibo. Indian hemp. Mariwawa. You get my point? Cannabis. Which other name? You should buy now. You should know what is called this thing by now. Now, don't describe it. Hashish. Do you want more? After a few days, that one not hit anymore. And the guy came by and said, you want something hotter than that? You want to get really high? And she said, why not? The guy gave her the first two or three shots of heroin free. And that's it. After that, she became hooked. That's how she became a prostitute. She needed the money so badly to maintain the habit. How did she get into that in the first place? Lack of purpose. Lack of direction. Listen, I don't need a drink to make my mind cool down. All I need to do is get home and stretch and lie down. And if I'm really bothered, I call my wife and we talk. And if it's more than that, I pray. That's all. I wish God would charge money for prayer, for the ability to pray. I'm serious. Listen, if you can buy one shot of coke for maybe 5 or 10,000 naira, you should be paying 100,000 naira for one shot of prayer. Not the one I pray for you, the one you can pray yourself. Say, God, please, I want to pray. Take your check so I can kneel down. Because when you pray, the Spirit of God indeed sends into your soul what the Bible calls the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What am I saying in all of these things? I said Christians are spoiled. You know, remember that says I am from? That we've gotten so used to the good spiritual life, we don't know how people are suffering. You have lived in giant houses. You don't understand that the young girl I was telling you about lives in one single shack room with six siblings and two parents. Listen. That is the state of the person who does not know God. That is the state of the person. No matter how rich he appears like outside, spiritually, that is his state. He's confused. God is looking. That's why you know that scripture we've been reading from Revelation chapter 3. God said, you think you are rich, but I can see you're poor. You're miserable. You're wretched. You're blind. And you're naked. Please, I hope you are following what I'm trying to explain. Listen. Spiritually, God set us up on such a high level, but we have gotten used to it. We don't realize how high it is. That's what I'm saying by one of the Christians has fault. We don't realize how high it is. In fact, how many of you have seen this movie? The cartoon, Prince and the Pauper. Go and watch it. There's something about it, the Prince and the Pauper. The prince was inside the palace, and he will look out of the window, and he will see other children jumping into muddy water and playing. And he say, oh God, these children are enjoying. If I told one of the lords in the house, say, I command you to bring me fun. What I'm going to say is that he's on that level because God didn't bring him like David. Do you get my point? From following the sheep into the palace, he looked at men outside following sheep and he was envying them. Believe me, David saw nothing to envy in following sheep. That was why when he was dancing before the ark, They asked him, why are you dancing so crazily? He said, I remember that it is this God that brought me out from following sheep. And then he set me up as a king in place of your father, Micah. They asked him, okay, you won't go back to following sheep? He said, according to Gordon's, I know Buka is not bad, but Mr. Biggs is better. Gordon said, I've been poor. You know, I don't survive before. And both of them are not bad, but I think I prefer my current situation. You know that he sunk. Today, my level don't change. Go and listen to it. You will laugh properly. You will laugh. So that's why any Christian that wants to dabble into anything that looks like occultism or those funny religions, he's a thoroughly confused person. He doesn't understand the level that God introduced him into life. Are you getting my point? As a Christian, all right, you are living in a mansion. No matter how much the Buddhist meditates from now till tomorrow, he's trying to break out of his shack. Do you get my point? Listen, no, let me explain that thing to you. Look, believe me, God gave me the opportunity to read about around a bit there. By the time I finished, I wrote an article, The Supremacy of Christ. And I realized that, listen, what people are rushing for is what Jesus is giving free of charge. Now, he will offer it to some people, but this is a problem. Because all their life, all right, they've been struggling. They had to, I remember Emmanuel Eni. How many of you ever heard the story of the satanist, Emmanuel Eni? Emmanuel Eni said that to talk to the devil, he will fast for 11 months. Ordinary devil, not God, though. Devil, small Satan, that I kick out of my surroundings regularly. Satan, are you around there? If I see your nose, you are dead. The guy go miss. Satan that appeared physically. And men saw him and said, I thought it was somebody that needed attention. And they kept on going like he wasn't there. Want to humiliate the devil? Just look and say, I will kill you. He says, is anybody talking? Yes, I'm going to kill you right now. Okay, I thought I heard the mosquito fly past. Don't rebuke him. Don't waste time. Just continue going. To talk to that one, the man will fast 11 months. You know, when I want to talk to God, I like the way Candace Staten said it. He said, he's no farther than a thought away. I tell you that one of the ways I counsel people, when I want to talk to people sometimes, as they are talking, I'm praying. I'm not listening. Father, your son is in my presence and he needs counsel. What do I tell him? And he's talking and talking and talking. Me? I've not fasted at all. I just finished eating, all right, before that encounter. And I'm connecting with heaven. A man has to do fast 11 months to talk to a devil. Nobody important. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, that's what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus paid for. Don't ever, sometimes we try to make it look like these religious, they are serious people. Look at how dedicated they are. Look, I understand that some people are thoroughly searching for God. And I feel sorry for them. The fact is that where they are trying to reach is where I started from. Please, do you follow what I'm going to explain? Like I say all the time, they say, your enemies are not sleeping at night. Now you understand why they can't sleep at night. They need to fast 11 months to talk to the devil. They can't sleep at night. Now, you understand why I go to sleep? Because there are some blessings that God said, I will never give you unless you've fallen asleep. And I can prove from scripture, he said, he giveth to his beloved even while he sleeps. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making there. All right, so let me just get back to the main thing, all right? Now, so we're talking about this equality with God thing. So you see, all these religions, they normally have one person who they perceive as having attained the highest realm. Now listen to this, humanly possible. Let me tell you what it means to have equality with God. I like to use medical student exams as an example. When we are marking essays, medical students, we use what we call closed marking system. Closed marking system means that over 100, the highest you can get is 70. Do you follow my point? The lowest you can get is 30. If you walk into a medical exam, and it's the way we do it in Nigeria till now. And you write an essay, and I tell you that, okay, write on malaria as an example. And you go there, and say, malaria the kilo, fearam, and you close the paper, I am compelled by law to give you 30 over 100. You know, that's nonsense you wrote. Crap. We call it a closed marking system. I don't want to go into the reason why we do that. Now let's go to the other end of it. The other end of it is that if you write the best that's possible, I can't give you more than 70 over 100. It's a closed marking system. If I, who said the question, decided to answer the question with the fact that I'm a teacher, I'm supposed to know everything there is to know, and I know the question ahead of time, and I set it for myself, and I answered it myself, and I had access to all the books, the best I get is what? 70. It's a closed marking system. Now, I hope you are following me. Because it's a closed marking system. Now, please get that one clear. Now, let's assume I have a hot student, and I've had quite a number of very intelligent, very smart students. No matter how smart the student is, when he's writing pathology, you know, when I first started teaching, I used to read and prepare very well to go for lectures. Then after a while, I stopped bothering. I realized that even if I drank and got drunk and strolled into class, I'm 10 times better than the best student there. Not because I'm naturally more intelligent, but because this is my job. It's the only thing I've done since 1995. It's part of my soul. Are you getting my point? Why you look, I just realized that. Why bother? So I just go there and just talk. There are subjects I've taught for a very long time. It's become part of my system. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Now, so let's just have a very smart student, and he reads very well. Believe me, he doesn't compare with me. I take my work very seriously. It's my teaching job, all right? He doesn't compare with me in understanding. He doesn't. Even if his name is David, I'm also a believer. You know, David, I have more understanding than my teachers. Me, I have more than my grand teachers. Now, are you getting what I'm explaining? The difference is just simple. He just started this course a few months ago. I have been doing this course for the last, I'm talking like 95 till now. And that's not counting the one I learned as a medical student before I decided to do my postgraduate. You get what I'm trying to say? Now, the gap between me and him, now just imagine it. It's quite wide in understanding. And what he's required to know is actually not as deep as what I know. But he writes that exam and impresses me enough to give him 70 over 100. What has he attained? Equality with the lecturer. Because if I did the same exam, what am I going to get? 70. Does he have all the understanding I have? No. Has he lived as long as I have lived? No. But what has he done? He has attained equality with the lecturer. Why? Because within this realm, we have a closed marking system. And the best any lecturer can get is 70. And any student who gets it can be said to have attained equality with the lecturer. It doesn't mean he has learned pathology for as long as I have learned it. It doesn't mean he understands it as much as I understand it. But within the realm of that learning, he has attained to everything that I expect of him. Therefore, I say he has attained equality with the lecturer. Now, what have I explained? Let's now get back to the realm of the spirit that I'm talking about. Let me say this to you. You see the way Jesus was on the earth, all right? You know, we sometimes have a wrong conception of God. You think that if God came on the earth, he would never get hungry. Do you get what I'm saying? On the earth, if he walked around with flesh, he had to get hungry. So a man who's getting hungry is not inferior to God just because he's getting hungry. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, let me not even go into that in further details. But you've gotten the concept of what I'm going to explain. That within the realm of this existence, there is a level in which you attain. And like I explained, if God were to appear on the earth, that's exactly what he also would perform. I'll explain something to you. You know wisdom. Let me say this, it will shock you. The wisdom that Solomon used to rule Israel before he went crazy. If God himself had appeared as a king in Israel, that's exactly the amount of wisdom he would have had. He said, how do I know? Because God said, I will give you so much wisdom that nobody before you will ever have had, and then none after you will ever have. You know what it means? He had given him the highest wisdom possible under the old covenant. That was the highest that was attainable. That's what he had given Solomon. So if God had appeared in the flesh of one man and was king over another kingdom, the best the two of them will do is to match themselves in wisdom. They will say, our king is very great. He said, what about our own king? Come and see. And men will look at the two of them and they won't understand the difference for the depth of wisdom that they both will express. Listen, you see that maybe God will have made them have airplanes that time. I don't have time to explain it. No, he probably wouldn't have. Because there's a principle in the scriptures where he said, till we all come. There are things that go together. You don't just appear in one kingdom with airplanes and there are no landing strips all over the world. Are you getting my point? It's not just the ability to build the craft. Where is it going to land? When you are going to navigate, who will you communicate with? Who will man your radar for you when you are flying from Israel and you are going down to another part of the world? There must be people there, you know, watching out. So God, on his own, wouldn't just jump into Israel and produce airplanes. He will get there and say, now, this is the best means of transportation within the time you guys have right now in your scheme of development. I need to explain this to you. This is my persuasion. I'm persuaded about this. Some of the stars, now, laugh if you like, okay? Some of the stars that Abraham saw were the lights at night in Paris. Some of the stars Abraham saw was Dubai at night from the air. Some of the stars that Abraham saw, he was flying over New York and he looked down. Small star there for Lagos too, I know, but the star where Abraham see for Lagos, we never build them. So we're going to build it. Some of the stars, listen to this, that Abraham saw was from Kingdom World Media Center. See, Pastor God, you say, yes, the stars were figurative, I know. But amongst the stars, I believe this very, very seriously. God gave him a picture of what modern day America would look like. Developed countries. I'm saying something. He says, so will your descendants be. They won't be jumping from one tent to the other. Are you getting my point? Having to wrap themselves with thick clothes when it is cold. No, they will heat up their homes. They will have climate control. With presses of buttons, they will control the climate in their environment. Abraham, I can't do that for you now. But look, so will your descendants be. There's nothing you are building now that Abraham didn't see that men will build. Therefore, he was willing to live and die for that vision. Believe me. You'll see what I'm saying as we go on. That was why the man would give up anything. Give up your only son. The guy will look at that vision. Oh yeah, Isaac, sorry. You got to go. That this vision might be produced in our descendants. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. Don't think Abraham was just there gazing at stars. I hope you know that night, stars can't light up the earth. The moon is very small, but it has so much brightness as far as the earth is concerned when compared to the stars. Now, our sun is supposed to be a medium-sized star. But they are so far away. Look, what I'm trying to say is that it wouldn't make an impact on Abraham the way, because we have been trained religiously, we think he did. The fact is that when God will show Abraham visions, the man said, look, and he will look up like this. He will see his descendants flying planes. Oh God, I wish you get my point. The man will dream and God will give him glimpses of glory. He said, follow me, and such will your descendants be. Please, I'm explaining something. So if God was a king in Israel, just wouldn't jump up one day and just build every skyscraper the time we have these days, because I mean, there must be a support system for those things. And the men, there's a limit to which you can drive a man in one day. What am I explaining? Solomon, in wisdom, before he decided to forsake that wisdom, attained what was called equality with God. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's very important we get this point. Because if we don't get it, all right, we're going to think that some of the things that we are talking about is just pure mystery. Do you follow? As if, what are you trying to explain? Are you saying we are now God? That's why people say that. Are you saying you are now God? Listen, my friend, I can't create Jupiter. You know what I call Jupiter? You see? Yes, I know. You know why? Where will I put it on the earth? It's not my responsibility to be rearranging the heavens. He said the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. What I'm going to explain is that when we talk about equality of God, it doesn't have to do with recreating our own galaxy. It's not relevant. But we are saying if God comes down on the earth, there is a limit he can attain to as a prophet. There's a limit he will attain to as an evangelist. There's a limit he will attain to as a teacher. There's a limit he will attain to as an architect. There's a limit he will attain to as a historian.
And if that's your calling, you are supposed to gun for that.